social work and social services in our societies are become managed more and more. So social workers, social service providers are more and more technocrats in our societies, managers. This kind of managerial approach should be countered, says this theory, and we should really give people the possibility to participate. So we should stimulate participation. So, and this, again, means that there's another type of relationship needed between civil servants, for example, or social workers on the one hand, and citizens on the other hand. Not from a managerial point of view, but much more from a point of view that facilitates, that encourages, that stimulates participation. Democratic professionalization. A second one is the theory of the presence, presence theory. It means that we should, in our social services, what type of social services that might be, that we should be much more proactive, that we should be outreaching, that we should outreach to citizens, that we should not wait in our offices until a well-motivated citizen is coming to us to ask a question. We should go into their direction, I think, and we should follow their rhythm, and we should try to respect or to connect at least to their life environment, to their life worlds. So we should not go to citizens in social services with our agenda, with a predefined agenda. So we should listen to citizens. So the theory of presence, to be present, to reach out to citizens. Another theoretical framework can be is offered by the ideas of democratic citizenship, where you do not strive working with communities, working with citizens, offering social services, where you do not strive for a common identity, where you no longer believe that something as a common identity must be stressed in your communities, but where you start from the idea and the acceptance that there is a huge diversity and plurality in our societies, and to learn work with this plurality and this diversity instead of going for a common identity of people or populations or regions or countries. Democratic citizenship. So these are things that are really very well developed in social pedagogy, working not only with juveniles but also with adults, doing educational work with adults as well. So this comes a little bit from this kind of scientists. And then finally, also the idea of deep democracy, for example, where you try to involve every possible stakeholder, where you also try to involve minorities, and where you no longer organize your decision-making process on the basis of the majority vote. So where every voice counts, this kind of deep democracy, and these theoretical ideas of deep democracy can help us as well, I think, setting up and shaping our programs. These are just a few theoretical frameworks that can help us not only to reflect about the possible role of restorative justice in our societies at large, but it can also help us to really shape and to establish and to further develop our practices, I think. I already talked about citizens, and I think the notion of citizenship is quite important, I think. And we should work more at the theoretical and the practice-oriented level with the idea of citizenship in restorative justice. Again, there you accept that restorative justice cannot be reduced to something between two people, a victim and an offender. But you accept the idea that it is a kind of capability, a capacity or a capability of ordinary citizens to participate in this kind of processes. Active citizenship. Where you believe that indeed people are able to do these things, where people have these competences and these capabilities, to talk to each other and to listen to each other with a little help of a mediator or a facilitator and so on. Important characteristics of this notion of active citizenship is that citizenship should be expressive. People should be able to express themselves and should be helped to to make their needs clear. Active citizenship, in the second place, is also autonomous. People should be given enough space, enough room to come up with their own ideas, even when these ideas are not the same as in the law, or as in the criminal justice, or in the penal code, for example. This kind of autonomous position we should valorize, I think, of people. It is critical as well, this active citizenship, critical so that it can also deviate from what the majority thinks in a country. And we should give place and room for these critical kinds of participation as well. Solidarity is an important, is another important characteristic, I think, of active citizenship, where we should take care of vulnerable people as well, where we should recognize that some people are too vulnerable to start a dialogue with another person and so on. But still we have to cope with that, and you have to include this kind of vulnerability and dealing with this kind of vulnerabilities in restorative justice as well. And then finally, the equality is important in active citizenship. We should indeed give citizens equal access to restorative justice programs. We should not select which cases, which offenders, which victims are appropriate to participate in mediation. We should stop our ideas, and we should not impose our agenda all the time. We should, I think, much more give, simply speaking, equal access, a right for every citizen to have access to restorative justice programs. That's a totally different approach, in my view, than in a very selective way deciding who is appropriate to benefit from these kind of approaches. The citizen is one pool, the other one is society, of course. And I think it's and if we really want to embed restorative justice much more into our societies, then we must also work much more with our informal networks, I think, in society. And informal networks are originating and growing all the time. It can be a Facebook group or another informal network. We must be able to work much more at that level of informal networks as well in a restorative justice spirit. But also the midfield, all kinds of social organizations are important, I think. And there's a huge potential in this, what we call the kind of social midfield. Why not working much more with existing organizations, cultural organizations, for example, social organizations, to develop restorative justice principles and values. And then, of course, there's also the role of the state and the rule of the law that should be ensured by the state, of course. It's all about human dignity that has to be promoted if we want to give people equal access to these opportunities. I think we have to create conditions for participation in our societies, conditions for participation and communication. And it comes much to the role of to offer space to citizens where they can not only talk to each other, but where they can also positioning themselves in another way, where they can adopt a new position vis-à-vis or with regard to what happened, the conflict or the crime, a new position to themselves, who were offender or victim in that crime, another or a new position to the criminal justice system, another position to society as well. So this kind of redefining your position, I think, after a conflict or a crime happens is important, I think. And the role of society should be to offer spaces to let that happen in a safe way, in an assisted way. So there are many challenges at also the societal level. And I will skip these challenges because I see that time is running. But you can easily imagine that it is far from easy on how to empower the society, how to empower the community, how to involve the community. I'm not only talking about the community of care. In mediation and conferencing, we are able to involve the family members and a good friend or a teacher. So this community of care we are able to involve, I think, in our processes of restorative justice. But how to involve the larger community if you believe that the larger community has to play a role as well? And it is true, if we are talking about crime, then the thing should not be reduced to a conflict between two people. There is, by definition in crime, a societal dimension always. So how do we know what the needs of the community and the society are? Well, we have to involve the larger community in one or another way, maybe in a representative way, but it should come in also in our restorative justice processes. So broadening this scope to the wider community is, I think, important, but still a challenge. And this is also a challenge. Please. Yeah, okay, thank you. So I try to finish. So an interesting idea to broaden the scope, to exercise with this pedagogical, to exercise with our educational opportunities towards our broader societies is the idea of restorative cities, I think. And we have restorative cities in some countries. You have it in Italy as well, in Como. You have an interesting pilot project, I think, of a restorative city. And so these are kind of programs that are set up with the explicit aim really to involve much more stakeholders than just victim, offender, and their communities of care. It is about how to educate, how to involve, but also how to educate citizens in all kinds of contexts, not only in schools, but also at the workplace, in neighborhoods, in sports organizations, for example. These are all interesting places where conflicts emerge all the time, where people experience polarization, tension, etc. So we should use these kind of settings, these kind of interactive settings in our societies as schools, but then schools in a very broad understanding, as interesting places where people can learn to adopt other attitudes and skills to deal with tensions and with conflicts and with crime. So that is the idea of restorative cities as it is being implemented or tried out, at least, in some of our countries in Europe as well. So I conclude. Restorative justice, I think, if it wants to be effective, really, if it wants to make a difference, yeah, in society, restorative justice, then it is much more than applying a measure of mediation at the individual level or solving a conflict at the interpersonal level. I have argued for that, I think, sufficiently. Second point, restorative justice is indeed also about establishing, developing a culture, a legal culture, but also a broader culture in society, I think. It's a culture which changes our ways of looking at conflict and crime, looking, perceiving, understanding conflict and crime in our societies, not only within the criminal justice context, but also in our personal lives, family lives, relational, social, work environments, trying to adopt another understanding, another perception, another view, another feeling about what is a conflict and what is my position in a conflict or in a crime. This kind of approach is defended here, I think. That means also that restorative justice programs, as we have them now in all these 36 European countries, let's say, that is, restorative justice programs should reach out much more, I think, to their communities. Yeah, that is, I think, an important conclusion or recommendation, at least from my side. And that we indeed should strive or aim at doing justice. Restorative justice is not just about resolving a conflict or repairing the harm to a victim. It is a process of doing justice as well. Even when it is not done within a criminal justice context, it is justice. It is an informal way of doing justice. And I think we should capacitate, we should create the capabilities and the conditions and the spaces for citizens to be part of these justice processes, also informal justice processes. That is justice, I think, much more considered and conceived in a democratic way in our societies. And to make that happen, I think, local administrations, local governments, city councils have an important position and an important role to play. They can offer a neutral place. They can offer precisely the conditions to create these kind of neutral spaces I think, in all these kind of settings in society where people can meet and where people can develop other understandings and other practices and skills of dealing with conflict and crime. Thank you very much.
Grazie al professor Arsen.
Thank you very much. And the morning is concluded here. And I'd like to invite you now to lunch at the buffet, which is on the left, going out on the left. And then please, we'll meet back on time at 2 p.m. Thank you. Thank you.